You are listening to the GeoNiagara Radio Show, sponsored by the Department of Geography and Tourism Studies at Brock University.
Welcome to episode 3 of the GeoNiagara Radio Show. Joining us in the studio today is Alex Morrison, who is an urban planner at the Regional Municipality of Niagara.
We're looking forward to having Alex in the studio with us today.
So, today, I was listening to a TED Talk, and I'm not sure if our listeners are aware of TED Talks.
TED Talks are academic lectures that are very engaging. They're short, they're very to the point, and they're much more interactive with the audience. Anyone can listen to a TED Talk, and you know, usually you almost get this feeling of, yes, like that is just awesome after you listen to a TED Talk. They're very engaging.
You definitely walk away from listening to one feeling that you can do absolutely anything and be successful at it.
Absolutely.
So what I tend to do is, in my day job life, I tend to listen to some TED Talks from time to time. And I heard one today that was given by, his name is Jeff Kirshner, and he is the creator of an app called Literati. And Literati is a mobile app that, according to the website, is a mobile app that is helping crowdsource clean the planet. And generally, the whole idea is you take a picture of a piece of litter, and the picture is uploaded to a database, and you pick up that piece of litter and dispose of it properly. And what happens is when you take this picture of the piece of litter, it actually geotags the location of that litter, but it also allows you to provide more information about that litter. So does that litter correspond to a particular restaurant in your area or things like that? So it adds a little bit of, I guess, accountability to local establishments or businesses. And if you go onto the website, literati.org, and we'll have a link to that in our show notes so you can check it out. I downloaded the app. I haven't actually used it yet, but I have set up my account. And currently, around the world, crowdsourced litter has been photographed, tagged, and disposed of equals 331,892 pieces of litter.
That's a lot of litter.
And what I find really intriguing about this whole app is how you can use it to engage students. I mean, you can go into a classroom with this single app, take the students out into the school field, take pictures of all the litter in the school field, and remove that litter, and the students can actually see their contribution to making the planet a little cleaner. And I thought that was an absolutely intriguing app, and I encourage everybody to go check it out, literati.org.
So maybe that's our app of the month.
App of the month, yeah. Yes. Definitely an app of the month. Hey, we created a new segment.
A new segment. There you go.
The app of the month.
You heard it here first.
And that segues perfectly into if you have an app or know of an app that's really cool and it involves geospatial technologies or location data collection, anything like that, feel free to tweet it at us at GeoNiagara or join us on our Facebook page, the GeoNiagara Radio Show. And you could also email us. The email address is darren.geoniagara@gmail.com. Joining us in the studio today is Alex Morrison, who is why don't you tell us what you do?
I'm a planner with the Niagara region, and I started about a year ago in April of 2016.
The first obvious question is, what inspired you to become a planner?
It started at about a young age. I'd say prior to high school, I've always kind of had a keen interest in how people move around, where development occurs. I grew up in Niagara-on-the-Lake, and it's a very rural community at the time when I was younger. And I noticed around my school in particular, St. David's Public School, some of the houses that were being built around the school. And at the time, I really didn't know too much what was going on or how they were allowed to build in what seemed to me at the time were agricultural fields. And so that initially really sparked my interest just because I was curious about how they could develop that land and what prompted that land to be developed over something that I thought would be more suitable closer to, at the time, the downtown core. So that interest kind of led me through high school. I was kind of selective in what programs I was able to take. There were options for geography, options for social studies. And from there, I was able to tailor my interest towards more of an environmental role. And what I was interested in more so was the geography side of human spatial distribution. And with this in mind, about grade 10, grade 11, I started looking at post-secondary institutions that offered a human geography field and something that I thought was more related to how people lived as opposed to the technical components such as how streets were built or an engineering side of things. So what really caught my attention was when I was searching for these post-secondary institutions, the University of Waterloo offered what at the time seemed to be a fairly new and unknown program to most, and it was called the School of Planning. And the School of Planning offered a diverse mix between environmental courses as well as more planning-related courses which had to deal with four specializations. And two of these were high on my interest list. The one was land development specialization, and the second was an urban design specialization. There were also two others I could have taken. There was a GIS, Geographic Information System specialization, as well as a Geography and Environmental Management specialization. And the nice thing about this school planning program was that you didn't have to decide right away what you were going to do. You could let your courses determine what specialization you were interested in later on. You just had to commit by the third year of a five-year program. And plus a bonus of the program, too, was that it was a co-op program.
So speaking to the co-op program, can you tell us about the whole co-op experience? Talking earlier, you mentioned that you did some work at the MTO here in downtown St. Catharines, and you also interned at the region. That whole experience, how did you find it? I mean, obviously it helped you because it got you a position at the region in the long term, but confidence-wise, did the co-op placement develop that confidence?
Absolutely. The co-op program was a huge stepping stone in terms of my development as a professional. It was something that I actively pursued when I was looking for post-secondary school. What I figured co-op would do would allow me to actually get those real-life experiences and help to boost my resume for when I actually do graduate from that secondary institution. I'll have something in my back pocket that I can pull out and say to employers like, hey, I have this experience that relates to these materials that you have on your job description. So the interesting thing about co-ops was that from my experience, they aren't easy to get. They are fairly difficult, but at the same time too, any co-op is a fantastic co-op just because you can actually have professional experience to draw upon for your next school semester. So if you can find a co-op related in your field of study, you can take what you've learned from that co-op and apply it to your studies and build from your studies beyond what the actual theory can teach you. And what I found with the MTO was that it wasn't necessarily planning related my first co-op, but it was GIS, which is one of the specializations that the program offered. And the MTO taught me a lot about, one, the practical skills of what GIS includes. So I got to use software that was available in university. However, we only had one course for that particular program, so I was fairly limited in what I could learn. But when you actually get to apply the work to the program and create an output for a manager to review and then eventually be sent out, it's so much more rewarding and so much more, you grow faster because you can see where the mistakes are made, where you can improve, and what people are looking for in your outputs.
In your work at the region right now, what sorts of projects are you currently working on?
Currently, I'm working on transportation policies for the regional official plan. The region's involved in a transportation master plan, and that master plan is informing a policy set for our transportation to actually implement within our regional official plan. And the purpose of these policies are that we can take the recommendations from the transportation master plan, put it into policy in our official plan, and guide and direct local municipalities for their policies in their local official plans. Another project that I'm working on, it recently concluded, but it is still technically ongoing, the coordinated land use plan review by the province. Recently, the province did a review of the Growth Plan, the Greenbelt Plan, and the Niagara Escarpment Plan, which are three major plans that influence planning in Niagara. And the review of these plans opened up a door for the province to receive comments from the region to better improve the plans and voice what is working in the region, what isn't working in the region, and provide an opportunity to improve how the policies influence our policies.
With respect to the official plans, the public may or may not be aware that there are community engagement sessions to illustrate or to show the direction that the region is moving towards and to gather public input. With the eye of engaging youth in the community, do you think it would be beneficial for, along with the usual public information sessions, that the region take these initiatives or take these sessions out into the high schools? Because essentially these will be the taxpayers of tomorrow.
Certainly. Through the Planning Act, we do have to have a set of statutory public meetings, which are required by the province. Oftentimes, that's a bare minimum. I know at the region, we look for best practices, so we do have opportunities where we hold public information centers beyond what's required by the province. And I think that opening it up to the youth is certainly an important aspect that we as a region can improve on, for sure. I'm not totally sure about the component of bringing it to a high school, just because that is, one, during work hours. It is a very select audience. But at the same time, too, it's critical that we harness the voice of the youth, just because they have many ideas about how they want to see their community grow in the future. And oftentimes at public information centers, we don't see a youth audience. We see fairly regular faces who attend these centers when they come up and when they occur. It's very rare to actually have a youth voice say, this is what I want to see happen in my community, and this is how we think it should happen. I think part of that is messaging by, one, the region itself. We can certainly open it up and make it more enticing for youth to attend these events, but I also feel like there's an educational component on the youth end that they just don't understand how they can participate or how important their messages are to the region itself.
I think the interesting part about public information sessions is that it fits so well into the curriculum in the high schools, especially with respect to civics classes, because there is the section in the civics curriculum about community engagement. It also highlights careers, whether sort of perceived or, you know, it might put that bug in somebody's ear that urban planning is a really good career. Being a planner, what do you find is the most challenging part of your vocation?
I'd say the most challenging part is, there's a saying that goes, the more you learn, the less you know. And I feel that applies very much with planning. There's never something that's the same. There's always something that's different, and there's always something that you don't know. And planning is very multidisciplinary. You always have to learn. It's continuous learning. And nothing ever stays the same. It's not static. It's a very dynamic profession, and something that you may know as it once was, for example, agricultural lands, will likely change over time, whether it's through the soil conditions or whether it's through a physical development. Something that we've noticed recently, especially this winter's, it's much more mild. Climatic conditions play a huge role on what type of environment is located in a certain area, in a certain geography. I think that's the biggest challenge, is trying to anticipate the unexpected. And what you think is the expected may not necessarily be so.
Getting back to your education, going through high school and then moving on to Waterloo, is there a particular course that you would wish that you had the opportunity to take that maybe doesn't currently exist that you feel would help you in your day-to-day work?
I believe so. You'd mentioned possibly public education and public engagement. But going beyond that, I think it's understanding the basics, and something that I believe that I wish I knew in high school at the time when I was applying for university is understanding the roles of the municipality. And for example, the province provides the framework and objectives that municipalities have to meet. But at the time, during high school, I didn't necessarily know the hierarchy of how the province, the region, and the local municipality interacted, and who was capable of doing what, and who influenced what. initially it seems like the municipality would be the most informed just because they have a very scoped understanding of their area and they would be informing the province, but it's actually the other way around. It's vice versa. The province sets out the objectives. The region takes the objectives, puts a regional lens on it, provides a scoped objective to the 12 municipalities of Niagara, and then the municipalities have to do their best to understand what the lens of the province is saying through the lens of the region to implement on the ground what is actually the objectives of the province. So it's just an understanding, the roles and responsibilities of who does what.
So essentially what you're saying is the education system, or just general awareness, needs to improve on, number one, more awareness of what a municipality does in terms of governance. Specifically in Niagara, we have 12 municipalities, we have one regional government, and then the next level would be the provincial government. I know a lot of students in grade school that can name all the provinces of Canada, but I know a lot of high school students that can't name the 12 municipalities that make up their own backyard. And I think learning that would make them more aware of the levels of responsibility amongst all of the players that are in the region.
And just to add to your point too, that's a very specific geography of Niagara. And that'd be extremely beneficial for students who are looking to take ownership in the region, just understanding your region, understanding how it operates, and understanding the roles of, one, the province, two, the region, and three, the local municipality. That's not necessarily the case for all municipalities across Ontario. Niagara is a two-tiered government system, meaning there's a region and a local municipality. Some are single-tiered governance, meaning that they just have a municipality that speaks directly to the province, for example, the city of Hamilton.
So you're born and raised in Niagara. Hopefully you're looking to stay here. What do you think are the most pressing issues in Niagara at this moment?
So I'd say that the first pressing issue in Niagara would be the introduction of the GO rail from Hamilton to Niagara Falls, expected to be complete by 2023. Currently, the region's working on secondary plan areas for each of the three transit stations that were confirmed within the region. So,
what is a secondary plan?
A secondary plan is a more scoped plan. The regional official plan has direction to local municipalities for their official plans. And a secondary plan is basically a more scoped local official plan. So it looks at a certain boundary within the official plan or within the municipality itself. And within this secondary plan, the region and the municipalities work together to establish a long-term vision for land uses within that area and how transportation and movement occurs within the area. So the region is working on those secondary plan areas at the moment with the municipalities, and those will be expected to be completed within the year. But also when that GO Rail does occur, we do expect that there's going to be a large influx of jobs and population within these areas. It wouldn't happen necessarily immediately, but it would happen over time, and that's what the secondary plans hope to achieve, is to appropriately plan these land uses and make sure that the density of these new populations is appropriately distributed. Another potential issue would be ensuring a linkage to Niagara Southern municipalities, so Port Colborne, Fort Erie. It's just ensuring that everyone gets their fair share of growth. There's obviously different market demands, and trying to accommodate these demands are going to be difficult. And I think that's going to be a challenge, is just ensuring that everyone grows at their own pace. And eventually everyone's going to get their share, but it's determining exactly when and how we can help get that growth there. But at the same time, too, currently Niagara is turning into what is called a bedroom community. So the jobs are staying in Toronto and retirees are moving out of Toronto into Niagara because it's considered affordable. The region has to almost create an economic development strategy to encourage new jobs to locate here and make sure that employment comes as well as the people. The affordability of Niagara is slowly increasing, which is just due to the fact that it is becoming a more attractive place to retirees because it is considered affordable now.
This is a question that I usually ask. I mean, we've had three episodes now. This will be the third time I've asked that question. Is what is something about your career that would absolutely blow someone's mind? Like something that you never even thought about when you entered this career as an urban planner?
So I wouldn't say necessarily it would blow the mind of the average citizen, but it's something that I became aware of during my study in school and then reconfirmed through my co-op with the region itself. And it's truly understanding how the Greenbelt boundary itself was selected and how it impacts those within it. So, for example, if you're within the Greenbelt, and depending on your designation, such as specialty crop area, you're extremely limited to what you can do on your site, and it has to be agriculture related. And I just think the magnitude of control that the province brought into play when they introduced these designations was significant. Whether you asked for the designation or you didn't, and it was placed on your property, you're, as a homeowner, you become very tied as to what you can do. And that's currently an issue that still resonates today. Part of the coordinated land use plan review, the Niagara region asked for certain properties to be excluded from the Greenbelt, removed and added into an urban area. And that was because when the Greenbelt was implemented, at the time, it covered uses that or infrastructure that was currently in place, but they didn't necessarily have the ability to build it out. So lands that had infrastructure and lots available within it that were already severed and could be built on as residential houses are built to this day. But now those homeowners are placed within the Greenbelt boundary and they can't really do too much in terms of what they can do to their yard to make it their yard, right? Like they may not have necessarily an agricultural use or an agricultural related use. It could be a full-blown subdivision within the Greenbelt, and the permitted uses of the Greenbelt don't allow those homeowners to expand any sort of use on their property, whether that's a commercial use, a residential use, or a mixed use.
I think that goes to illustrate just how interdependent policies are. You don't really want to say that there wasn't a lot of forethought put into them, because they're obviously policies for a reason. But it makes you wonder just how much the policymakers take into account exactly what it is that they're intending on doing.
And the key to what Niagara Region asked during this land use plan review comment period was that we asked for a ground truthing of existing uses for these certain parcels to ensure that they are in fact not agricultural parcels within the Greenbelt.
All right. Alex, thank you so much for coming into the GeoNiagara Radio Show. I just want to make sure that everybody listening, visit the Niagara Region's website. I'm sure they have information about public information sessions about pretty much anything that's happening at the region. And I strongly encourage citizens and the students to participate in these public information sessions. And thanks a lot, Alex, for coming out.
Thank you very much, Darren. It's been a pleasure.
Thinking of pursuing a career in the field of geography or tourism? The Department of Geography and Tourism Studies at Brock University offers 3 and 4 year bachelor's degrees and a geography graduate program, each with several study options. At Brock University, you'll get an excellent education with hands-on experience through internships, study abroad programs, co-op, labs, seminars, and more. Explore the world through your studies. Come to Brock and experience the Department of Geography and Tourism Studies today. Check us out at brocku.ca/geotour.
Upcoming events for March. International Day of Forests occurs on March the 21st. World Water Day is on March 22nd. World Meteorological Day is March the 23rd. And as it happens every hour between 8:30 and 9:30 on Earth Hour is on March the 25th. Heading into April, we have Rita Roadmap Day, which I thought was pretty neat. That's on April the 5th. And Earth Day is on April 22nd. And I would like to encourage you to check out your local municipal websites, because I know a lot of the municipalities have Earth Day events happening, whether it's a park cleanup or shoreline cleanups or road cleanups, those sorts of things. And I encourage everyone to get out there and pick up a few pieces of litter. mm-hmm. make your planet a little cleaner, and use the Literati app, because we could put Niagara on the map.
Absolutely.
In terms of litter removal.
Clean up the community. Also locally, here at Brock University, on Friday, March 24th, Brock University Geographical Society will be hosting its annual Geo Gala. This year, it is in conjunction with the Brock Tourism Club to present a mysterious soiree. It will be a murder mystery dinner party.
Looking forward to that.
I know, it's going to be extremely exciting and mysterious. And tickets will go on sale next week.
Excellent. So our next episode will air on Wednesday, April the 19th.
Our next guest will be Warren Price. He is a planner for urban strategies based out of Toronto. He has been heavily involved in the urban planning on the Brock campus and has a lot of upcoming projects that he wants to share with us.
Looking forward to hearing from Warren. And if you have any ideas for show guests, please forward them along at our social media channels or our email address. And we look forward to spending time with you in April.
That looks like a wrap for episode 3.
Have a good night, everyone.
You have been listening to the Geo Niagara Radio Show, sponsored by the Department of Geography and Tourism Studies at Brock University.